We are on the bottom of Chafei Amud Beis. We did start the Mishnah yesterday, but we'll run through it again. Hatemed. Temed is when you soak grapes in water to absorb their flavor.
Raisin
wine. So before it's actually fermented, so it says, Ad shalah yichmitz, before the temed, the raisin wine has fermented. Eina nikach bekesef meiser, you cannot buy it with the money of meiser sheni. The Torah says the meiser sheni you can take up to Yerushalayim, you're allowed to buy yayin, wine, but the temed before it's fermented is not considered wine, it's considered like water. Upoitzel samikveh, and therefore, because it is considered like water, if three lugin of temed falls into a mikveh before you have the 40 sa of rainwater, so then it will disqualify the mikveh because it's considered like water. However, mishahichmitz, once the temet has already fermented and become wine, nikaf bekesef, then you can, bekesef meiser, you can use your meiser sheni money to buy it because it is now considered as wine. Ve'ena poisel samikva, and because it's now wine, so wine, even, or other liquids other than water, even if it's drawn in a keli, cannot disqualify a mikveh. You can't make a mikveh out of it, but it does not disqualify a mikveh once it has become wine. That's point number one. Point number two of the Mishnah, ha'achin ha'shutfin. If you have two brothers who are partners in an estate, they inherit from their father. There is a situation, k'shechayavin b'kalbo, in a situation that where they bring their half shekel from the estate. So there's a half shekel for each one of them, that they are liable to bring the kalbo in that extra payment that Chazal required because of the erech, because of the devaluation of the bit that might be missing from the half shekel. There's a situation that when they are chayiv in this kalbain, then in that same situation, if they have an animal that they share, pturin memaiser behema, they are potter from meiser behema. Keshechayavim memaiser behema, but in a situation where they are liable for meiser on the animals of that from the estate, pturin min hakalbain, they exempt from the kalbain. And what is that situation? So like this. When the estate is not yet divided, the estate is considered to belong still to the father, so to speak, as one ownership. Once the estate is divided, it's now their private ownerships, and if they put it back to the original estate and bring it together again, it's considered like their partnership. So in the first situation where they divide the estate and then put it back together as their partnership, so because each one of them now is bringing their own half shekel from their share, so to speak, so therefore they are chayiv in the kalbon, but because they are partners in the animal, and the animals, so meiser sheni only applies to private owned animals, not to partnerships. But in a situation where they never yet divided the estate, and the estate still belongs, so to speak, to the father, it's one owner, so when they give the half shekel, it's like the estate, that father is giving the half shekel on their behalf, and the halach is that when you give the half shekel on behalf of someone else, you do not need to bring that extra kalbon payment. And similarly, in this situation, you are liable for Maisa Behemah because the Behemah, so to speak, belong to one owner, and that is the estate, that is the... So therefore, that's the inverse. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah, Loi Rebbe Yehuda, Loi Rabbanan, it's neither Rebbe Yehuda or the Rabbanan from the following Braisa. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Hamitamed Venasin, Mai Mimida, someone who's making Temet. And he puts a measure of water onto the raisins. And therefore, and when he drains it out to take the liquid, he has the exact same measure as before. So then, he says as follows. Potter, he is exempt from giving, meiser. And the reason is because, according to the Rabbanon over here, it has not become wine at all. Because we say that the amount of water that he put in, that is what has come out, and no wine has come out from the raisins. Rabbi Yehuda Machai, but Rabbi Yehuda says you are liable for Meiser. Rashi says down the bottom, but Meiser, the Kule Perahu, all of the liquid is considered like fruit, is considered like wine, that you are liable. Mechachamim Poitim, Mechachamim exempted, Hoyavaloi Noisa Poiklum, since the same amount of water you put in is the amount of liquid that you get out, Afa Pi Shiyesh Poitam Yain Enoklum, even if it might have a wine taste, but it is not considered as wine. So that's, now, what do we see over here? Over here, there's no distinction. What he says like this, Mani, who is our Mishnah? Who is this, our Mishnah? Rabbanan, if our Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, Afagav the Hichmid, so the Rabbanan, in the Brice over here, they don't make a distinction whether the Temet is fermented or not. And it seems the Rabbanan is saying that the Temet is water, even if it has fermented. Rebbe Yehuda, and if our Mishnah follows Rebbe Yehuda, who says that over here that it is considered as wine, he considers wine even if it is not yet fermented. Yet our Mishnah makes a chiluk and says until it's fermented, it's considered like water. Once it's fermented, then it's wine. So who is our Mishnah? So now we have a few resolutions. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Amar Rabbi Bar Avua. The Braisa, even though it does not specify, but the Braisa, which brings the Machloikas of the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, is talking about when the wine has fermented. And therefore, Umasnisin Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda, meaning, why does Rabbi Yehuda say over here that the Temet is Chayev in Meiser? Because it has already fermented. And therefore, our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. This our Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina explained b'shehich mitzmachroikas that the brisa here of the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is talking about where the temet has fermented. But amar Rav Nachman. Furthermore, Rav Nachman said another din with regard to the temet. Amar Rabbi Baravua, temet shalachri bekesef meiser. If you bought temet with meiser sheni money and it is not yet fermented, so you're not allowed to. Which we said before in our Mishnah, you cannot buy it with Meiser Sheni because it's not wine. But then, Ula Basoif Hichmitz, you still had this wine there, this temet, and then it became fermented, it became wine. Kana Meiser, then you have acquired, the Meiser Sheni money, and it is satisfied. My time, what's the reason? Because retroactively, what did he buy? Retroactively, he bought Peter, he brought fruits, he brought wine with the money. Okay, says the Gemara, if so, if we say that you can wait, and if it then becomes fermented, then retroactively, we look at it as wine. Elamas nisin de ketani hichmitz en loy hichmitz loy. The Mishnah just says a blanket rule that if the temet, if the raisin wine has fermented, then you can buy it with Meiser Sheni. If it hasn't yet fermented, you're not allowed to buy Meiser Sheni with it. Now, what should it have said? Dilma. Well, he says, Dilma ishavke, if you would have bought it even before it's fermented, and you would have left it there sitting in your cupboard, have a machmitz, then maybe it will ferment, and then you are yoytze having bought it with your Meiser Sheni money. But our Mishnah doesn't suggest that. So Amar Rabba says, what are we talking about? Kishashir memenu bakois v'loy hechmitz. Our Mishnah is talking about a situation where you kept some of it. You didn't just sell it or use it all. You kept some of it to see if it is going to become chometz or not, and it didn't, meaning it didn't ferment. And therefore, what you drank also would never have fermented. It would never been wine. And that's why our Mishnah says that you cannot buy it with Meiser Sheni. Or meaning if you did, then the chalois of the transfer to the Meiser Sheni wouldn't work. Okay, Rava Amar. Rava gives a different answer to resolve the Braisa and how it's compatible with our Mishnah, and says that true, our Mishnah is neither Rebbe Yehuda or the Rabbanim, because they don't make any difference between whether it's fermented yet or not, whereas our Mishnah does. Rather, says Rava Amar, Ha-mani, who is our Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It follows the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this in Mikvois, the Halachim Dinim in Mikvois. Gimul Lugin Mayin Chasa Kertav. Again, back up. If you have, we said before, that if you have a mikveh that does not yet have 40 saw of rainwater, then if 3 lug of Mayin Shu'uvin of drawn water in Kalim falls into that, it disqualifies the mikveh. Now, what about the following situation? So he says,
so what's
it, 3 lugin
short from the
40 saw? It could be even 10 saw, 5 saw, 20 saw. If it's less than 3 lugin short. As long as you do not have 40 saw, you could have half a saw or 39.9 saw. If 3 lugin shuvin fall into that mikveh, the mikveh is possible. So the Mishnah says like this, gimel lugin mayin. If you have a jug of gimel lugin mayim chaser kertav, missing an eighth of a lug, meaning it's the smallest amount that's missing. Shenafa l'soichay kertav yain, and then into this jug you have a kertav yain. So now what you have here is you do not have 3 lugin of mayim, because you've also got yain, a bit of yain in there. Umarein kamari yain, and it has the appearance of wine. This thing is now pinkish. V'naflu l'mikveh, and that jug falls into the mikveh, loy paslu, it does not render the mikveh pasul. The reason it does not render the mikveh pasul is because it's what Rashi says over here. So even though you have shleisha lugin shleimin, but it's appearances of wine, meaning it's not actually all wine. It's not all water. It's got a bit of wine in it. So it's not three lugin of mayim.
But you can't make a mikvah out of wine.
You can't, but will it poisel? And the difference is, can I now add more rainwater to it? If the mikvah is poisel, I cannot rain or add more rainwater to it. Okay, so he says, gimel, similar case, and gimel lugin mayim chaser kurtov, shenafel oseich kurtov chalav, umaren kamare mayim. What happens if you just have the same scenario, but this time you've got less than three lug of drawn water and a kurtov of chalav, milk falls into it, and because it's milk, and it must be that 0% milk that we have over here, because it does not change the color of the water, and it still now looks like water. V'naflu mikveh, it falls into mikveh. Again, loy paslu, it does not render the mikveh as no good. And the reason is, because it's not mayim. It's not three lugin of mayim. Part of it was milk.
So what does that have to do with what it looks, the appearance? The first.
Okay, very good. So that Rashi is a bit strange, that Rashi there, but we'll get to it. So let's have a look. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Oimer, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Hakol hoylech achar hamayra, everything follows the appearance. Meaning. Yes. Okay, so. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, everything follows over the appearance. So, therefore, he says like this. In the case of wine, he's not going to disagree with the Tanakama, because the three lugin of water with a bit of wine in it has the appearance of wine. Whereas, in the second case, where there was chalav and it does not change the color of the water, then he would disagree and he would say that that will be poisel the mikveh. So, now says the Gemara, Lav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Basar Chazusa Aslinan. And didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that we follow the appearance? Hachanami, so too in our case over here, Zil Basar Chazusa V'taima, just as over there Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that we follow the appearance, so too over here in our Mishnah case, when we want to classify the Temet as being wine, or the so everything follows the Chazusa and the Taima. Everything follows the appearance or the taste, irrespective of whether it's fermented or not, it goes after the appearance and the taste. And therefore, in a situation where it has not yet, in a case where it has, Bahachanami says Rashi, betemet, until it's fermented, even though it will eventually ferment, and therefore, technically, because it will ferment, even now it's considered as peiros. However, chazuse maya, since until it is fermented and become wine, it looks like water. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it is chazuse pasel mikveh. Since it looks like water, it will be poisel the mikveh. Ve'ena nikach, and you cannot use it to buy ma'aser sheni, because we follow the appearance. And now it looks like water. But obviously, once it has become fermented, then it tastes like wine. Or would it look like wine or taste like wine, then in such a case, then it will not disqualify the mikveh, and then you are able to buy it with ma'aser sheni. So the first resolution is basically to say that the braisa is talking about a case where the wine had fermented, and therefore our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. The second explanation is that the braisa doesn't make a distinction between fermented or not. Our Mishnah follows a different opinion, and that is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, says the Gemara.
So this temet is what? It's a juice in the raisin?
No, it's what you do with the raisin. You take raisins and put water on it. And I think you also add sugar to them, to the water, and it draws out. It draws out the taste out of the raisins.
But it doesn't get a colour from the
raisin. No, it does. It's got a brownish, reddish colour.
But this okay.
Okay.
It doesn't mean water when it says the appearance of water.
No, it means it looks, it would have the, here we're saying timer. He's saying the same way over there, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you go after the chazusa, the appearance, right?
Oh,
so here you go after chazusa, the timer. Okay, so now says the Gemara. But earlier on, we brought the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether the temet is potter from Meiser or not. And we said they are arguing, Rav Nachman said they're arguing a case once it has fermented already. Now we have a dissenting opinion. This argues with Rabbi Elazar, the Amr Rabbi Elazar. Hakol moedim. Everybody agrees. She'ein mafrishin alav mimakim acher. Ela, imkein hichmit, that you cannot separate meiser on your temet. You using you know, we know like this that you don't have to, you can separate shaloi min amukaf. You can separate meiser on your produce from produce that you have elsewhere. So he says like this: when it comes to the temed, you're not allowed to separate maaser from elsewhere on your temed that is over here, unless the temed has already fermented and become wine. Why is that? Kasavar, he holds beloy hichmitz machloikas, that the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether the temed is liable for maaser or not, right, is talking about even in a case when it. It's talking about a case where it is not yet fermented. Meaning like this. Once the temet is fermented, then Rabbi Elazar would tell you, according to all opinions, it is chayav in meiser. According to all opinions. However, before it is fermented, it's subject to the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And therefore, its status of with regards to meiser is questionable. And therefore, you cannot take meiser for your temet here from other stock that you have elsewhere.
To buy produce.
That's yeah.
Here
we're not talking. Now we're talking about the Bryce is talking about hafroshes meiser on this wine. The Mishnah is talking about buying with meiser sheni. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Have a look in. All right. Let's keep going. Gemara. So he says va'ad kan le'mechayv Rabbi Yehuda elimineu beit. And he holds that when Rabbi Yehuda says that the temed is chayev in meiser, you have to separate meiser from your temed, he's talking about taking the meiser from itself, from this temed itself, and not from another source. But to take the meiser from temed or wine that you have elsewhere, loy, you can't. Why? Dilma asa lafrushim min achiyuv ala patur, because you might come to a situation where you are taking meiser from something which is liable in meiser on behalf of something which is potter from meiser, or you might end up taking from meiser from something which is potter from meiser on behalf of something which is chayev in meiser, and then you're going to have a problem. So if you have a look in Rashi, he elaborates. So he says at the bottom, Elam kein hichmit, temed ze shuhu balasaken ulhafrish ala mimakam acha. You have your temed over here, and you haven't separated meiser from it, and you want to separate the meiser by taking the meiser from somewhere else. Umidikama Rabbi Elazar libda Rabbi Yehuda, the aim afrishin ala mimakam acher, that since Rabbi Elazar says that according to Rabbi Yehuda about Brisa, you're not allowed to separate the meiser from somewhere else on behalf of your temed over here. Michlal, this implies the mechayv le Rabbi Yehuda b'loy hichmit. It implies that this temed is still chayev for meiser, even though it's not yet fermented. But va'as Rabbi Elazar lashmuinan. But Rabbi Elazar is trying to tell us that adkan lo mechayev le Rabbi Yehuda ela minei ubei. He's trying to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda, even though Rabbi Yehuda says you're temed before it's fermented and become wine, is liable for meiser. You have to say meiser, but he says only to take the meiser from it itself, not from another source. Avimakam acher afilu hu ki yotze boy. Even if it's temed there also, nonetheless you can't. Shall even as temed shalay hichmitz. Now he says, lo, you can't. Shema ze asid lahachmitz, and the reason is because we don't know. Some temed will ferment and become wine, and therefore it's megalam afreya that even now it is peda, it's fruits. And some temed will not ferment. So if I take from this lot, well, it's either going to ferment or it's not. So if I take the meiser from here, either I had to take the meiser or I didn't. Either way, I'm covered. But if I take the meiser from over there, and this one becomes becomes ferment and becomes wine, then this is chayv in meiser. And if that one does not, it's not chayv in meiser. And therefore, what I took from there cannot be the meiser for this one. And similarly, vice versa. And that's his concern.
So if you've got a guy who's starting to produce this tomato, he's got the raisins, he puts water in there, and he says, hang on a sec, I didn't take meiser from this tomato, so can I take some other raisins? You would say that since this is no longer raisins, but it's raisins and water and starting a process of fermentation, you can't use raisins to be pater.
Correct.
Because the water is not chayav.
Correct,
correct. Only the main ingredient.
Yes.
So it's a bit like a status like the
although
fruit, where you're drying fruit.
Although you can take meiser from wine on behalf of, you can take from wine on behalf of grapes, not grapes on behalf of wine, I think. if once it became wine.
But saying intermediate.
Correct. The intermediate said you can't, but it's because of the same suffix, this might not actually ferment.
It's like a limbo where you got the stinkers malus when you try and dry fruit.
Yes.
Fruit, yeah, mukta. And then you get dried fruit, so in the intermediate stage, it's
malus. Okay, good. All right, Tana Rabbanan. Another braisa talking about temet. Ha temet actually hit me. It's the raisin, water, wine before it is fermented. Mashikoi b'mayim. You are allowed to make it tahor by kissing it, literally kissing it to water. Now, it's interesting, din. Water, liquids can become tamei, just like foods can become tamei. All other liquids, once they become tamei, there is nothing you can do about it. It remains tamei. Water, however, you can be metahir by connecting it to a mikveh. And the way you connect it to mikveh is the same way in our mikveh over here. You have a hole which connects the rainwater to the tap water. And because they kiss, because they touch one another, that renders even the water on top as mikveh water. So too over here, if I have water that became tameh, and if I put it into a mikveh, the cup, so that it just touches at the top, as soon as the mikveh water touches the top of my water, it becomes tahor again. So again, temed, after it's already fermented, is no longer water. It's now wine. So you cannot metire it by attaching it to a mikveh. Whereas before it is fermented, it is water, and therefore you can metire it by b'mashikoi b'mayim mishehichmitz, but once it is already fermented, ein mashikoi b'mayim, you cannot literally kiss it, touch it to the water of the mikveh to be metire it. Amar Rava. Rava says, Leishanu ele shetmadu b'mayim tahirim. This only works if, when you originally made the temed, it was with mayim tahirim, with pure water. The nitmu, and subsequently to having made the temed, then it became tamed. Avotmei bikara, but if the water itself was tamed at the outset, and then you made the temed with it, loy, then you cannot be matired by touching it to the mikveh. Okay, says the Rashi, that later we're going to question this ruling. And he says like this, Azo Rav Gvir Mibay Ksil. So Rav Gvir Mibay Ksil went and he said, Amra L'Shmaitza Shmaita Kame De Rav Ashi. And he said this teaching of Rava in the presence of Rav Ashi. And he said, Maishna Tmei Mikara Deloi. What is the difference between if the water, before you made the temed, the water itself was tameh, that there we say that no, now the temed, you cannot be matar by touching it to the mikveh. Damrinan, I did the maya yikiri shachni tatai upeira kapi mil el. What do we say? That since the water is heavy over here, if the water is tameh, it was saying the water is heavier, and therefore the water will sink down, and the sink down to the bottom, and the peira, meaning here the juice that comes out from the raisins, will float up to the top, and therefore when you touch it to the mikveh, what are you touching? You're not touching the water anymore. It's going to be that bit of raisin juice that's come out, that's what's touching the mikveh, and maybe that's why it doesn't work. So he says, v'loika salka luhu hashaka lamaya, and therefore it doesn't work when you touch it to the mikveh. Ihachis, he says, tahirin ulvasoiv nitmu nami. He says, if that's the logic, then it actually makes no difference whether the water was tummy before, or the water was tar, and then you made the temed, and then it became tummy. If it's about physics, that the water is heavier and denser than the raisin juice, and the juice coming out of the raisins will float to the top, it doesn't matter whether the water was tummy before or tahir before, the same concern would apply. Says the Gemara, Elam of Avali, what happens? It all gets mixed up. That's why touching it to the mikveh water works, because you do have water hovering at the top of it as well. Hachanami Mavabali and Sefer Soto over here, in this case, it is all mixed up as well, and therefore it really should not make a difference. And that is the conclusion of the Gemara, knocking off Rava's argument, and therefore we're stuck with our din, that if the temet is not yet fermented, it's considered like water, and you can purify it by attaching it to the mikveh, irrespective of whether the water was tahor or tameh before you put it in. And once it has already fermented, it's now wine, therefore you can no longer attach it to the mikveh to be matar it. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Kol makom sheyesh mecher, in all situations where a father is able to sell his daughter as a slave, not very politically correct nowadays. So it says she's a ketana. Rashi says over here, kozman she'abas ketana, mavir zakei lemoichra. So it says it's biti nasati lisha zeh. The father has a right. Kim ker ishes bitoy la'ama. The father is allowed to sell his daughter while she is a ketana. So as if she's a ketana and therefore there is mecha, the father has the right to sell his daughter. Ein knas, then there is no knas in a case where she was either raped or seduced. So the Torah says there is a knas of 50 shekel kesef that goes to the father. But the parsha is talking about a naira, not a ketana. So it's a girl who is 12 years old and shown simonim for the next 6 months. She is a naira. But so according to the Tanakama, there is no knas for a ketana. So where she's a ketana, therefore you could sell her, there's no knas. And when she's a naira, and therefore there is a knas for the rapist or seducer, there is no mecher because she's a naira. The father is not allowed to sell her anymore because she's no longer a ketana. So again, you have inverse situations where there's a situation where you could sell her, but there's no knas, and the situation where there is a knas, but you cannot sell her. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zoi Divrei Rebbe Meir. This follows the view of Rebbe Meir, who says that a ketana does not have a knas. Aval chachamim omrim yesh knas, but the chachamim say a ketana does have a knas. The yesh knas b'mokem mecher. They say there is knas. Sorry, not the knas. It says there is a knas. Yeah, it says there is a ketana. There is a knas in a situation where there is a mecher, meaning just as you can sell a ketana. Therefore, there is a knas. There is also a knas for the rapist or seducer of a ketana. Correct. That's a lav dafka. So he says.
Why is there a rule that a father can sell a daughter anyway?
Very simple. He can't afford to feed her. What does he do? So he sells it.
You don't have a daughter if you know you can't feed her. But he's how you plan your life. And you sell your daughter.
In halacha, this is considered as absolute last resort. A person who is absolute destitute and on the border of starvation and has nothing else to do.
Well, why can't he sell himself as a slave instead of selling his daughter?
Who's going to look after the daughter?
Or the other kids. Okay, so he says like this. Tanya was taught in a brisa. Ketana mebas yom echad ad shetavi beis sairis. A ketana, from the day that she is born until she develops the signs of maturity of the two hairs, yesh la mecher ve'ein la knas. The father is able to sell her, but there is no knas in the situation of being raped or seduced until she is a naira. Mishetavi beis sairis, once she develops the signs of maturity that she has two hairs, ad shetibager, until she becomes a boigeris, meaning the duration of the period that she is a naira, that 6 month period, yesh la knas, there is a knas for the raper and the seducer, the ein loy mecher, but the father is not allowed to sell her any more.
She becomes a naira, she leaves the world, doesn't she? It's not a permanent sale.
No, oh, that's a separate thing. They say like this, correct, because she goes out, that's why he's not allowed to sell her. That's the limud. Well, how do I know that she goes free when she develops signs of maturity? Sorry, how do I know that he can't sell her when she is a naira? Because the Torah says, like Tetzeh Ketzeh Sa'avadim, that she goes out when she develops signs of maturity. If she goes out from being sold as a slave, Kol Sheken, you can't actually sell her once she is a naira.
It's only a temporary transaction until she becomes 12.
Yeah, but it could be from the age of 3 or 2 or...
Yeah,
anyway.
It's not something that we can get at.
It is very not looked on favorably to do such a thing. Okay. So he says like this, Yesh a knas ve'ein la mecher divrei Rebbe Meir. This is the view of Rebbe... sorry, one second, I skipped out. Ad shetibagi yesh a knas ve'ein la... Yesh, until yesh a knas ve'ein la... Mecher, Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir, and that's consistent with our Mishnah. Shai Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, Kol makom sheyesh mecher ein knas, b'chol makom sheyesh knas ein mecher. All situations where a father is able to sell the daughter, meaning she's a ketana, there is no knas for the seducing of her because she's not yet a naira. And any time there is a knas, meaning she's a naira, there is no mecher. The father cannot sell her because she's no longer a ketana. The chachamim oimrim. Now we're getting to a point where we said that our Mishnah does not follow the view of the chachamim. The chachamim oimrim ketana mebas gimel shanim v'yom echad. A ketana who is 3 years old and From the age of 3 years old, v'yom echad, and one day, ad shetibager, until she becomes a begeris, yesh la knas. Now, as we've seen before, that in halacha, the age where she is ru'uya labia, or that that she is considered that intimate relations with her is considered intimate relations, albeit a terrible violation, is from the age of 3. So once she becomes 3 years old in one day, ad shetibager, until she becomes a boigeres, yesh la knas, she has a knas. Knas in meaning what? What do we see from this? According to Chachamim, she has a knas as a ketana and as a naira until she's a begeres. So not only a naira like the Torah says, but even a ketana, there is a knas if she is raped or seduced. Says the Gemara, maybe you think knas in mecher loy. Maybe there's a knas for her, but there is no mecher. You can't sell her. So he says af knas, meaning it's obvious. The Torah says you're allowed to sell your daughter a ketana as a slave. So it's obvious you could sell her. So rather it says af knas, then in addition to being able to sell her when she's a ketana, according to Chachamim, there's also she is subject to the knas for the raper or the seducer. Af knas b'makim mecher. Okay. Now we have a new Mishnah. Kol makim sheish miun ein chalitza, v'chol makim sheish chalitza ein miun. What is miun? So we know that midday raisa, a kiddushin is only valid if either she is already a naira, and then even if she's makadish herself, or if she's a ketana and her father is makadish her. But if other relatives, mother, brother, etc., in the absence of a father is makadish her as a ketana, that is not kiddushin midday raisa. It is only midrabanan. It affects some form of quasi-marriage status. However, because it's not a marriage midraisa, she does not require a get, and she can do miun, which means she goes up to someone and she says, "I don't want to remain with this guy anymore." As long as she's not yet 12, once she becomes 12 and once she's bas mitzvah and stays with him, then she requires a get. But if she's under 12, she tells someone she does miun, refusing and say, "I don't want to be with him anymore." So then she does not require a get. So miun can only take place when she is a ketana. So this is a code word: komakam sheish miun, when she's a ketana and therefore can do miun. Ein chalitza, there is no chalitza, because ketana can only be chalitza can only be performed with a gedola, not with a ketana. B'chol makom sheish chalitza, any situation where she can do chalitza, meaning she's now a gedola, ein miun, because she's a gedola now, she cannot do miun. She requires a full get. No, Yibum could be done. Yibum, I believe, could be done because she has. No, if the father was Mekadosh. No. For me, and there's no. I don't think there's any Chalit or Yibum garnish. In a case. Who was married by her brother or married off by her brother. But was it Kiddushe Deraisa or not? Right, but if it's from the father, it's Kiddushe Deraisa. Okay, says the Gemara. Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Zoi Divrei Rabbi. Sorry, one second. Yeah, Zoi Divrei Rabbi Meir. Says so too. This mission is also the view of Rabbi Meir. Ava Chachamim Omrim Yesh Miun B'Makom Chalitza. But the Chachamim say you could still do Miun even at the age where she could do Chalitza, meaning even once she's a Naira, once she's 12 years old and has Simanim, then you could still do Miun. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa Ad Masai Abbas Mama Enes, until what age can a daughter who's been married by a brother or family member to somebody else, until what point can she be Mama'en and refuse and do Miun? Ad shetavish de Cyrus divrei Mei Rebbe Meir says until she becomes a gedola, until she has signs of maturity of two hairs. Rabbi Yehuda says ad sheyarbe hashachar al halavan, that it's until the point that there is more black than white, meaning that there is more pubic hair that covers over the majority of the pubic bone, and that is obviously older than being a naira. That's obviously older than being a gedola, and therefore we see according to Rabbi Yehuda you can actually do miun even older than that. then once she's a naira as well, and therefore conversely, our Mishnah does not follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda; it follows the view of Rabbi Meir.
She shouldn't need a get at any time, whether she was married by her brother or anybody else. It was against her will and consent. Or
the Chachamim give her that ability, and the point is that once that you're right, but once she becomes an adult, 12 years old, let's say, with Simonim, and she chooses to stay with her husband even one time, so that is considered her consent, and that retroactively affects the Kiddushin from the time that her family members married her off, and now she requires a get. But if she's under that 12 years old, she's allowed to be married, exactly because of that point, but it's because not Kiddushe Deiraisa. But the father could technically marry off his daughter against her will, technically. Not advisable, but again, technically can. That's a right that the Torah gives. And in such a case, Miyun wouldn't help. You would need a get because it's Kiddushin Midoraisa. Okay, says the Mishnah. Kol makam sheyesh tkiya ein havdala. In all places where there is the tkiya, the sounding of the shofar, there is no havdala. Now, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about the tkiya of Rosh Hashanah. Have a look in Rashi down the bottom. Tkiya arve shabbosos v'yomim tovim. L'havdala za'am min hamalacha. On Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, like you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda today, you hear people blowing trumpets. Chazal enacted that they should blow trumpets at various points on Erev Shabbos. We learned in the Masechta Shabbos to warn people that Shabbos is coming and they have to stop doing melacha. And they would blow a series of blasts to stop people working in the field and then to close the shops, etc., etc. Yes, in the end of Sukkah where it talks about the maximum number of blasts that you would have. The Ubein HaShmash is taken l'havdu main kodesh l'chol. And in a situation where Shabbos, they would also they would blow to separate, to show that now it is Shabbos.
No, people don't blow trumpets.
But there you sometimes see, I remember seeing guys walking around with these like metal trumpets going around, yes? Okay, so he says, and also they would blow in order to tell people to stop doing malacha and get home and get ready for Shabbos. And then as Shabbos is coming in, they would blow a series of shofar blasts to show that it is now Shabbos. And that's the tekiah we're talking about. So he says like this, Kol makim sheyesh tekiya ein havdala. Now, what is havdala? Says Rashi, bitvila va'ala kois, both in the Shemana Esrei and ala kois, b'matze shabbosos v'yamim tovim. So, how do you have a situation? So he says like this: Kol makim sheyesh havdala ein tekiya, and wherever you have havdala, there is no tekiya. So now the Mishnah elaborates: Yom tov shechal liyos be'erev Shabbos. When Yom tov is on a Friday or Thursday, Friday in Chutz La'aretz, and it goes into Shabbos. So Yom Tov Shechal Liyos Be'erev Shabbos, Toikin V'loi Mavdilin. You blow the shofar, but you do not do Havdala. Now, why do you blow the shofar? So the blowing the shofar is to show you that Shabbos is coming, you have to stop doing Malacha. Now, I understand when Friday is a weekday, but it's Yom Tov. But because on Yom Tov some Malachas are permissible, you're allowed to do Malachas Oichol Nefesh, they would still have to blow the shofar because you're going from a Kedusha Kalak to a Kedusha Chamura. You're going to a situation where you are allowed some malachas to where no malachas may be done. So you still need to blow the shofar. But, ein mavdilin, you do not make havdala in such a situation. Why? Because in all situations, when the more chamur day is coming in, we do not make havdala. We know that. When Matzah Shabbos is Yom Tov, we make havdala. But when Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday, going to Shabbos, we do not make havdala because that would be somehow disgracing Shabbos in that situation. So he says like this, and on the converse, so he says, Yom Tov Shechal Liyos Be'erev Shabbos Toikim V'loi Mavdilin, but Matzei Shabbos, but when Yom Tov is on Matzei Shabbos, then Mavdilin, we say Havdala, both in Davening, we say V'Todienu, and we also make Havdala Alakos, V'loi Toikim, but we do not blow the shofar, because it's not necessary. Because on Shabbos, you're not doing Malachas anyway, that we have to warn you to stop. Kate said, Mavdilin, how do you make Havdala in such a situation when Yom Tov is on Matzei Shabbos? Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Rabbi Doisa says, "Ben kodesh chamur lekodesh hakal." He separates between the more stringent kodesh of Shabbos to the more lesser or weaker kodesh of Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, "Heichi tekeya." How do you blow the shofar in such a situation? What's the way you blow the shofar? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, tekeya umeria mitoich tekeya. You blow the tekeya and you go straight into the trua from the tekeya without a pause in between. Ravasi Oimer, Ravasi says, Tekeya Maria Benishima Achas. You blow the Tekeya and the Trua in one breath. What the difference is that you'd still pause in between. And that's what we do when we, for example, blow the Shvarim Trua on Rosh Hashanah and Tekiyas to Me'umad, you blow them in one breath. The Meyushev, you blow the Shvarim and the Tru in one breath, but you still have to pause in between. Okay, asking Rav Asi Buhutso Kishmaite, Rav Asi when as a Rav in Hutso, so he established that they should blow the shofar in accordance with his view that you blow the tekiah and the trua in one breath, but you pause in between. Meisve, they challenge with the brisa Yom Tov Shechal Yisper of Shabbos Toikin V'loy Marien on Yom Tov, which is Erev Shabbos, you are tekiah, but you do not blow the trua, which is neither Rav Yehuda or Rav Asi. My love, loy marine cloud seems to imply that you don't blow true at all, and therefore loy says the Gemara loy no loy Rav Yehuda mitaritz the time of Rav Asi mitaritz the time. Each one would explain this brisa according to their own opinion. The what Rav Yehuda mitaritz the time, Rav Yehuda would explain it to his reason loy marine mipnei atma. When the brisa says you blow tekiah and not a true, it doesn't mean you don't blow true. It means you do not blow a true as a separate note. You blow it straight in. You blow it following straight on from the tekiah. Rav Asi mitar it's a time, and Rav Asi would explain the brisa according to his view. That when it says you don't do the trua, it doesn't mean you don't blow a trua. It means you don't blow the tekiah and trua in two breaths. You blow it in the one breath. Okay, then the Mishnah says, over Matzei Shabbos, Heicha Amala, where in Havdalah do you say Hamadu ben Kodesh to Kodesh? Because when we say Havdalah on a regular Matzah Shabbos, we begin Hamadu ben Kodesh l'chol, and we conclude Hamadu ben Kodesh l'chol. So where do we say Hamadu ben Kodesh l'kodesh? Amar Rav Yehuda b'chassimasa. Rav Yehuda says we only say it at the end, meaning you still begin Hamadu ben Kodesh l'chol, and then Hamadu ben Kodesh l'kodesh. Mechein Amar Rav Nachman b'chassima. Rav Sheshet b'reid Rav Yidi Amar ap b'psichasa. But Rav Sheshet says no, even in the beginning. So you have Dala Matzah Shabbos leading into Yom Tov would be Hamadu ben Kodesh l'kodesh. The halacha does not follow him. And okay, Rav Doisi Omer, Rav Doisi Omer, ben kodesh chamur lekodesh hakal. The leisilch zekvase. The halacha does not follow him. Amar Rav Zera, Yom Tov Shechal Dias beEm to Shabbos. When you have Yom Tov that falls in the middle of a week, and you say on Matzei Yom Tov, what do you say? You say, I get that, because Yom Tov is holy and weekday is chol. Ben Erla Choshech, Ben Yisol Amim, then what do we say? Ben Yom Hashvi'i, it's not Yom Hashvi'i anymore, you're talking about Yom Tov. Right, so why do we say that? So he says, "My timer seder havdalos humayne." You are simply saying the seder havdalos. The takon of saying the bracha of halal, the long bracha that we say, as we saw in the Gemara in Psachim, is that we mention all different types of havdalos, separations and distinctions that are mentioned in the Torah, and then we conclude hamavdu ben kodesh, whatever it is, ben kodesh l'kodesh or ben kodesh l'chol. So when we say ben yom hashvi l'sheishes imamas, we're not saying that today was Saturday. Today was Shabbos. We're just listing points in the Torah which differentiate between the holy status of different things, such as Ur and Choshech. Yom Hashvi'i L'Sheishes Ma'amaseh, Ben Yisrael Lo'amim, etc. Hadran Alach HaKol Shechtin, and Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we will start the new Perek.